Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, All Limitations Are Off.
Ends the season when he says something is over, that not to reach back for it, not to try to go back and get it, and not try to recreate it, because he said in Isaiah, you should remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old, for behold, I will do a new thing. So whenever God begins to embrace the new, because he's trying to get us the limitations being off, then we've got to let go what was the former. I wish I had time, but I don't have time. Not only must we let go of the former, but we must believe what God is saying to the point that we write down what it is that he is saying. When God now says, that is over, I'm moving you into this, that job is ending, I'm moving you to be an entrepreneur. When God begins to declare those things, what God now begins to say must become so important that we write it down. Come on, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what have you been writing down? What have you been writing down? What God says when we've now entered into new, whatever he says, it must be so important. It must be so valued by us that we take the time to write it down. And I know you are a generation of iPads, iPods, and all of that stuff. So you sort of kind of got away with writing. But most learners say that in order to remember, amen, and really commit something to remember, you need to write it down around 1,500 times before it's committed to your mind as a truth. Write it down. Habakkuk said, write the vision and make it plain that he that read it may run with the vision. Could it be that we are not running because we have not written anything down? Our memory really is not that good. And especially the longer you live. The longer you live, generally, the less you remember. So we are in a season that when God speaks, we got to write it down. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, when God speaks, write it down. Write it down. When God speaks, write it down. If he says he's going to do something with your children, write it down and put a date to it. If he says he's going to do something with your finances, write it down, put a date to it. If God says he's going to do something in your community, think of it as so important that you got to write it down. I wish I had a little bit more time because I would deal with you there, because once you write it down, then you ought to take it to your prayer closet. This is not the season to enter our prayer closet with empty words and vain repetitions and saying what we said 5 years ago. When we enter in our prayer closet now, we ought to have something written down and something precise and something concise that we heard God say he was going to do it, and we believed it so much that we wrote it down, and now we not only write it down, but now I'm taking it to my prayer closet. So when I get in my prayer closet, I'm asking God to save my child. I'm asking God to do something at my business. I'm asking God to do something in my community because he said it, and now I've written it down, and now I believe it to the saving of the soul. Whenever we are not remembering the former things and now we're believing God to the point that we're writing down last week, then I said, finally, we must understand all of this is happening because God is developing us and he's inviting us to sonship. He's inviting us to sonship. He wants to move us from just being servants to being sons, knowing what the Father is doing. Knowing what's on his heart, knowing what's on his mind, and not guessing and not wondering and not trying to figure it out with our own selves. Because I've discovered that when I figure it out, oftentimes, I'm so far from what it is that God is doing, and his word has to bring me back. God is bringing us to sonship that we know what it is that he is doing. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 18, it says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord have given me, they are for signs and they are wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts that dwelleth in Mount Zion. It is high time for the people of God to be identified in the earth. You didn't say anything. I said in point number 3 from last week, God is bringing us to sonship. We ought to be the salt. We ought to be the light. We ought to be a city set so on a hill that we cannot be hid. But too many Christians are hiding. Too many Christians are not identifiable. And in this hour, God is trying to bring us to a place of sonship that when we walk on our jobs, they know that there's something different than us. When we live in our communities, they know that we are not like them. When we go in doing business everywhere, that they know that there is something significant about us that makes us peculiar and royal and a holy priesthood. If I went to your job this week and I did not know you, could I pick you out as a Christian? Y'all ain't saying nothing now. If I was a fly on the wall observing how you interact in your household with your family, could I identify that you are a Christian? Come a little bit closer. If I ask your neighbors, are you a Christian? What would they say? It is high time for us that are sons, and that word son in the Greek, it means children of God. It is high time for the children of God to be easily identified. Y'all didn't say nothing, so I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on preaching. Do y'all not know people are hurting and they're looking for somebody to save them? Do you not know that there are people that now have identified, if I don't get somebody praying for me, I don't know what's going to become of my life? There are people that are looking for miracles, signs, and wonders by the laying their hands on believers, and the real Christians are not standing up. It is so imperative that in this moment that we live in, that as John said in 1 John, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Because every son like this is what the Bible says, purifieth himself as he is pure. And that's what the book of Acts was all about. It was about the sons and the daughters of God standing up and turning the world right side up. You didn't hear what I said, so I'm going to say it again. That's what the book of Acts was all about. It was about the sons and the daughters of God finally getting tired of what's going on in Athens, finally getting tired of what's going on in Corinth, finally getting tired of what's going on in Galatia. They stood up, and the Bible says, by the preaching of Paul and Peter, the known world was turned upside down. I need to talk to you powerful ones. When was the last time you opened up your mouth and turned the world upside down? Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. We, as the people of the Most High God, when we open up our mouths, we ought to change something. I'm glad I got one strong witness over there and the rest of y'all are looking at me in that tone of voice, but that's okay. We, as the people of God, when we open up our mouths, we ought to change something. And I can stick right there, but I'm not. We, as the people of the Most High God, when we open up our mouths, we ought to change something. Y'all gonna make me do it like that. If my words can't change my situation, how are my words gonna change somebody else's situation? And we got a whole lot of YouTubers and we got a whole lot of people on mass media. We got a whole lot of people on Christian television. They open up their mouths and they're preaching loud, but their preaching ain't changing themselves. I want my preaching to save me first. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm gonna keep on. I want my preaching to save me first. And then when my preaching's finishing saving me, I want it to cleanse my wife with the washing of the word. I'm in the Bible, but y'all ain't saying nothing. And then when it finishes washing her, I want it to get into my children's, amen, soul, body, and spirit, that they come out from among them, and then they go into the world as representatives of Jesus Christ. And people look at our house and say, what is different about their house? And we be able to say, for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. But if your preaching ain't changing you, it ain't changing nobody else. And in the hour that we're living in, the world is waiting. This is what Romans said. The world is moaning and groaning, waiting for the children of God to manifest. They waiting for somebody to be saved on your job to be authentically saved. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Your family is looking for somebody to really represent Jesus and Don't be slipping and sliding. They ain't going there because we got visitors today, y'all. Your family members are waiting for somebody to stand up and show them how to be a man and how to be a husband and how to be a wife and how to be a Proverbs 31 woman and a 2 Timothy man. The whole creation is waiting, and the whole kingdom of God is saying, sons and daughters, rise up and now be authentically who God called you to be. That's what the book of Acts is all about. Men and women, by the initiative of the Holy Spirit, they were formerly cowardly, they was unsure, they was ignorant. These men and women found the faith in Jesus Christ, and after 3 years of learning, they changed the whole world. After 3 years of just walking with him and talking with him and being with him, they rose up and they changed the world. And how long have we been saved? And the church didn't say anything. Do y'all know the average Christian in their whole lives never lead nobody to Jesus? Come on, tell your neighbor, we got a problem. And I believe it's because we've tried to make Christians and we ain't made disciples. The Great Commission was never to go make Christians. Because if you fall into the vein of making Christians, then you're going to try to fill buildings. Well, y'all ain't saying that. But the Great Commission says, go make disciples of all nations. And my argument against the body right now, we making a whole lot of Christians, but ain't too many disciples. Because the disciple lay his life down for the cross. The disciple loved not his life even unto death. The disciple does not compromise. And I need to help y'all with this. Every one of the original 12 and probably the 70, all of them died a horrible death. Now, you can be a Christian and get along with this world and nobody won't bother you. But if you ever stand up and say, I'm a disciple, y'all better please hear me. This world will hate you, but it ain't because they hate you. They hate who's in you. And Jesus told us that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And so the call, and this is what we see in the book of Acts, and I'm almost done. In the book of Acts, we see the disciples rising up, and it ain't nothing that can stand before them. They go to preaching in the synagogue, and when they won't let them preach in the synagogue, they go preaching in the city. And when they won't let them preach in the city, then they pick another city. I've discovered something by discovering this book of Acts, that when you truly are a disciple of God, can't nothing stop you. It just might be an ending of this way I do it, but can't nothing stop me. Come on, somebody go with me. Say, can't nothing stop me. Can't nothing stop me because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when we get to the book of Acts, we see Peter at the first part of the book of Acts. Peter is the prominent one. Then when we get around 11, 12, somewhere in the later chapters, we see Paul taking over. And when we come to our text today, Paul is now taking on missionary journeys. And he's going about from different city. And he never stays anywhere too long. And I know it would have been problematic for us because we'd have seemed like he's unstable. But every time you turn around in the life of Paul, he has to go to another city. And this is where we find ourselves today when we come to Acts chapter number 18. Apostle Paul is now having to go to another city. Point number one in what I wanted us to take from Acts chapter number one is, I told y'all I ain't going to do it long. Number one is, this is a season of strategic movements, godly connections, and right religious persuasions. I wish I had time because I could dig it out a little bit better than you see it right now. But when you read in Acts chapter number 18, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, Apostle Paul is dealing with three things. He's dealing with that he has to leave Athens and now he has to go to Corinth. Some devils would have said he got ran out of the city, but that ain't really what happened. He got commanded to go to another city. Y'all ain't saying nothing. All right. There are times and seasons in our lives that our movements are strategic. All right. And this is what happens in Acts chapter 18, verse number 1. Paul has to now quit. And I wish I had time, y'all. I'd really dig it out. Because when you're in Athens, you're dealing with intellect and you're dealing with religiosities and idolatry. Well, when he gets to Corinthians, he's got to deal with sexual impurity and all other stuff that has no difference. That's why when you're preaching the gospel, you have to be able to let God move what you're preaching. Because go back and study it if you don't think I know what I'm talking about. Because in Acts chapter number 18, when he's in Athens, he's dealing with those with the intellect and those with idolatry. But when he gets over to Corinth, he said, no, 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 my message about idolatry and intellect won't work over here. These folks got some sexual behaviors that I got to correct. When you get over to the church of Corinth, it sounds like he's dealing in modern America. And I ain't got time to deal with that this morning. When we get over to Corinth, he's dealing with modern America. But number one, we got to understand that there are seasons of strategic movement. Somebody said to me, strategic movements. There are seasons of strategic movements. And one, I believe in the gospel says there are seasons even that you can't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I wish I had time. And there are seasons of strategic movement. But then there's also, the Bible says in Acts chapter 18, Paul had to make new connections with somebody called Aquila and somebody called Priscilla. All right. He had to make new connections. He had to let go some old connections. All right. Whenever God begins to move you strategically, you cannot be connected to what he disconnected you from. And this is a season that God is dealing with connections. And y'all ain't got to say nothing, but I know I'm talking to you. All right. This is a season of strategic movement, but he's also dealing with godly connections. God's trying to connect us with what can take us to the next level. But then also, when you get down to verse number 3 and 4, he starts dealing with their ideologies and their religious persuasions. He starts dealing with their ideologies and their religious persuasions. If you stay on this journey called the way, the truth, and the life, you will find out that every now and then, and this ain't what I really came to preach about, but every now and then, God's got to correct some of our religious thinking. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but that's okay. And this is what Apostle Paul does in 18, 1, 2, and 3, and 4. He moves strategically, and I got that. This is the text. I'm just preaching the text. He moves strategically, but then he gets godly connected. And then the Bible says that he stood in the temple, and he tried to persuade them of their religious persuasion. There are seasons that God changes everything and it becomes uncomfortable. It becomes uncomfortable. I didn't come to preach about this, but I remember the season that God was correcting my view of what I thought about the second coming and the rapture. I ain't gonna argue that. I ain't gonna mess with y'all theology today. But I remember that season. See, I was raised in a house where a man preached prophetic stuff ever since I was a little boy. My dad has always preached about prophetic revelation, Matthew. He's always done that. Well, he has preached it a certain way that I just believed it. And I'm not, y'all got to grow up a little bit. I'm not calling him wrong. I just see it different now. Y'all ain't saying nothing. All right. And I see it differently now. So when my father and I talk about that, I have to watch how I talk about it to him. But I don't believe it like he believed it. And I want y'all to understand, if you keep studying this, something you believe today, you won't believe tomorrow. And I can tell y'all that ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't been saved that long. But those of us that's been saved, if y'all think I'm making this up, let's go back to the Pentecostal church 20 years ago. You didn't slip in and get the Holy Ghost like y'all get it now. See, now y'all slip in and we don't even know y'all got the Holy Ghost. And y'all go, okay, y'all, I'm glad I can tell the section that's going to laugh. Y'all slip in now, y'all get a dose of the Holy Ghost, and then y'all go back out. Old school, everybody in the church knew you got filled with the Holy Ghost that day. Come on, talk to me back to some people that's been here a while. Because first, you had to tarry for it. And not too many people got it after the first tarrying service, because we need to get cleaned up in some areas. See, I know y'all don't know nothing about what I'm talking about, but this group over here knows that what I'm talking about. First day you didn't get it because that was in your life. Second day you didn't get it. Now, I'm not saying it's correct. I'm just saying it was the doctrine that we lived under. About the seventh tarrying service for some of us, we got the Holy Ghost and everybody had to know it. I had to come stand up in the middle of the church and let the church know I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, y'all slip in now. And I got some problems with that because when y'all slip in, when y'all slip out, you're doing too much slipping and slide. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't slip out and still slip and slide. Well, y'all ain't got to say nothing. I'm going to preach anyhow. My father told me, amen, a few days ago, go back to preaching holiness. And I'm going back to preaching holiness because holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. You can't get the Holy Ghost and keep slipping and sliding. That Holy Ghost that I got brings in from slipping and sliding. And what the old folks used to say is real true. Where I used to go, I'm talking about the real Holy Ghost. I ain't talking about that apostate church Holy Ghost. That you can get the Holy Ghost and in the next breath cuss somebody out over the pulpit. That ain't no Holy Ghost. It's a ghost, but it ain't Holy Ghost. I read somewhere his love or the word, we could go to John, it said the word can be replaced for his name, amen. His love constraineth us. And I don't know why I'm there, but I'm going to say it. Some stuff Holy Ghost don't let you do. I'm going to keep preaching, Naomi. Thank you for saying I'm preaching well. Some stuff the Holy Ghost. Oh, okay. I don't know why I got over there, but hold on. You better get ready to play because I can feel the vibe. Some stuff the Holy Ghost don't let you do. And I'm so glad I got the Holy Ghost in the old school church. Y'all can look at me that way. I tell him every day, thank you, God, that I really got the Holy Ghost. Because I would go to slip and say something to you, but Holy Ghost said, don't say that. Okay, y'all ain't saying that now. I'm going to tell y'all how my Holy Ghost, old school Holy Ghost work. Some stuff come on television. I got to cut it off because it vexes the spirit that is within me. This generation, y'all can watch anything, everything, and want to binge watch it. And I'm preaching this a good day because what starts later, some of y'all don't need, the only power some of y'all need is the power of the Holy Ghost. And I can tell who they hit because they laughing. Like, y'all tell them I watch power. Holy Ghost won't let you watch some stuff. Holy Ghost don't let you say some stuff. I'm talking about the biblical Holy Ghost. Because the word said, come out from among them and be ye separate. And then I will be a God and I will be a father to you. And that's what the book of Acts is about. Strategic movement, godly connections, and right religious persuasions. Paul argues that now, Corinth, and he argues it to the point that they either believe or they don't believe. And he's all right either way. Number two, and I got to move, number two, the second thing happens in Acts 18 and 5, because now all limitations are off in Acts 18 and 5, Paul has a pressing in his spirit. Paul has a pressing in his spirit. And I'm like, what in the world is a pressing in the spirit? A pressing in the spirit, according to C.I. Scofield, is a constraining of the word of God. We are now in a season, and you can get ready, Doc Solomon, because I really am done. We are in a season that not only God is now strategically moving us, and he's giving us godly connections, and he's making us now have right religious persuasion. Number two, we got to pay attention to pressings in the spirit. And that's what Acts 18 and 5 says. Paul was pressed in his spirit. See, as Scofield said, he was constrained by the word of God. Wish I had time, we'd go to Psalms 119. Because Psalms 119, it sort of kind of outlines what this constraining in the word means. It means first and foremost that daily I seek and I search for instructions from the word of God. Whenever there is a pressing in the spirit, let's don't get spooky, let's don't get crazy, let's don't be like Trump when he talked about the chosen one staring off into space and all that. No, let's don't do none of that. Let's come back to basic simplicity of Christ. A pressing in the spirit, number one, means I seek and I search the word of God for instructions. When I'm making decisions, this is where my answers come from. Y'all ain't saying nothing. This is what pressing in the spirit did. First, when I have to make a decision about a job change, when I got to make a decision about marriage, when I got to make a decision about how I'm going to raise my children. I'm not going to do what this world is doing. Lord, have mercy. Now, y'all, I'm talking about the world is letting 2-year-old run the house. I ain't knowing that. So you mean I pay bills? She pay bills. 2-year-old don't pay no bill, but they gonna tell us what we gonna do. Where they do that at? So number one, when I say there's a pressing in the spirit, number one, I seek and I search the word for instructions. Psalms 119, 1-5. But I don't just do that. Once God gives me instructions, I hold fast to what God shows me. Once God gives me instructions, I'm going to hold fast to it. I'm not going to let it go. This is what God has said. Because once God says something, sometimes there's a season called now you got to wait and you got to stand still before you see his salvation. I think we could stand and we could hold fast if God worked a little bit more quickly. Sometimes he doesn't. And you got to know this is what he said, but I've seen no manifestation yet. Do I have anybody in the room that you know what God said, but you ain't seen no manifestation yet? Well, I'm going to tell you to stand still. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. You got to live through see nothing days. I wish I had a little bit more time. You have to live through see nothing days. God said it. I received it. It's true, but I don't see anything yet. I got to hold fast to what God has shown me in his word. I wish I had a little bit more time. The Bible says God's word is forever settled in the heavens. But please hear me. Sometimes the season is going on that his word might be settled in my heart. Has God ever said anything to you that you believe, but you need help with your unbelief? Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. Oh, God. Sometimes God says something, and I know what he said. I receive it, but I need help with the part I don't believe. Well, whenever that has happened, the word is forever settled in the heavens. Sometimes what we're going through is God trying to make sure, is that settled in your heart? Are you sure you blessed? I wish I had a little bit more time. Are you sure you favored? God will let you lose everything because you had your hope in things so he can show you, make sure you got your hope in me. So sometimes what you're going through, God's trying to make sure that the word is settled in your heart. You say you believe with your head and it comes out your mouth, but your heart really has a problem with what God said. Come on, put your hand on your heart and say, God, settle your word in my heart.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.